Hello. Welcome back to the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny, the only NFL podcast where we don't vet our guests, but one of the hosts does go to the vet. Shout out to Dr. Sung. Lenny's caught up on his shots now, feeling really healthy, feeling really great. So we are joined today by one of those aforementioned unvetted guests. He was a punter in the NFL for 7 years, if I did my math right. Is that right? Seven?
Seven good ones, though. One year was terrible. You do what you got to do.
You know what happens, Pat, is I always look at the seasons and then I forget that they, like, bend around. So when I do my math, I always rob people of a year. I really got to work on that. It's always so confusing when you talk about, like, the 2014 Super Bowl, but it happened in 2015. That always messes with me, personally.
I don't think you're the only one there. Every time I look on Wikipedia, whenever I have a guest, I try to do the math, and I always get it wrong as well. So I always, you know, just do the guesstimation. I get it wrong 7 years, 8 years. It doesn't matter. Everything's okay, and I'm thankful to be here, Mina.
Well, you're a super positive guy. You have been, you are an analyst, commentator, Monday Night Football aspirant, comedian. You've got your own podcast, which is very popular, very heavy on the shenanigans, which we like around here. You're doing cool stuff now with the WWE, which I want to hear about later. And I guess I should introduce you to the guests in case you weren't tipped off by the stuff and the fact that he actually spoke earlier. It's Pat McAfee, folks. Welcome to the show, Pat.
Hey, Mina. Thanks for having me. It's going to be a blast. I'm normally pretty positive. You catch me early, I can get a little grumpy if I'm a little hangry. But, yeah, life is good. Life is great. And I'm very excited to be here with you.
Did you know that when I did the whole intro that my co-host is a dog, or were you confused by that?
No, I had a little bit of a heads up that there was a chance a dog was coming in, and I knew the dog brings the heat, so I'm excited that the vet took care of him, got him all his shots. I can't wait to hear what he has to say. My dog talks to me as well. She's a little bit of a softer personality. I can't wait to hear how your pet interacts with humans.
Really?
I can't wait. Yeah. My dog is an active barker. She and I get along well.
Oh, actually have a question already from Lenny. He wants to know your dog's name, and he'd like to see a picture. That's creepy, Lenny. We'll talk about that afterwards. Actually, you know, when I came up with this show, Pat, one of the names, people were like, really? The Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny? It's not, you know, very original. And one of the names that people suggested for me was Pooch Punt, because it's the dog thing. If you and I did a show together, or actually if you and your dog did a show together, you could call it Pooch Punt.
I think I think pooching is a good one too, because whenever you're pooch punting, you're just pooching out there. My dog doesn't send nudes. She's my daughter, so no pics will come to Lenny. But her name is Valerie. She's a pit bull Sharpei mix,
Valerie!
And she's the greatest thing on earth. Yeah.
I really like dogs with both of our dogs have human names. Just want to throw that out there. They sound like they would go well together. No offense. My dog did already holler at Damien Woody's dog, so he's pretty shameless. He's a true dog in every sense of the word. But Valerie sounds like she might be too jacked, pumped and jacked for Lenny, who is a big old mix. Anyway, we'll get to the dog talk later. This is like kind of a weird point in the NFL season. We're coming off of the free agency highs. The draft's not for a minute. It's a little slow. I feel like everyone's kind of tied up in March Madness. I was just telling Dan, our producer, that I just got back from South Carolina. Saw one of the most exciting college basketball games of my life. Are you as deep in March Madness? I know you have financial interests, right, in the tournament. Where are you right now? How are you doing?
We're down, Mina. We are head down.
Sorry.
I think it's incredible the way Vegas has this ability to predict exactly what's going to happen and convince me to put financial gains the opposite way. But I watched zero college basketball games all year. It's not something I dive into normally, but I am all about the madness of March, and I've watched every single game. My lady and I have sat on the couch all weekend, dove right into these student human athletes putting on a show in that UCF Duke game. Although it was a heartbreaker for the UCF Golden Knights, that program down there, both football and basketball, is an incredible one. Taco, 7'6". That's a guy you can build around, literally. And Zion missing the free throw on purpose for R.J. Barrett, who was the number one recruit coming out of high school, to make him feel good to get the game winner, I think is just a magical situation for Zion's legacy.
I may be working on a piece about the aforementioned single mom. Zion's like Prince now, right? Like, we just call him Zion. He doesn't even need a last name. He's there. But so I was on, on press row, Pat, acting hella unprofessional. Like, when, because you're not supposed to, like, you're certainly not supposed to cheer, obviously, but you're not really supposed to react in the press row. Poor Allison Williams, who covers college basketball for us and football, I'm sure you've seen her on the sidelines. I was screaming, wailing, falling on her at the end. Got a lot of sidelong glances from my fellow reporters, my fellow journalists, but I don't care. It was the coolest thing. I mean, it was just so exciting to be there. I loved every second of it. And Taco, I mean, I was telling Dan, he in person, first of all, he doesn't really jump. He just kind of bunny hops because he doesn't have to, right? But he's also really proportionately built. Like, I don't think I've ever seen anyone who looks like that.
Yeah, I don't think there's any humans. I mean, Dikembe Mutombo, obviously a very tall fella in relation, but he's built like an athlete. He looks like he could be explosive if he has to be. He looks like a guy on a Fisher-Price hoop out there. I mean, he's standing on his tippy toes dunking basketballs over D1 athletes. I think it's an incredible advantage to be 7'6" in a sport where height happens, for sure. But let's get back to the media row people acting as if they're curing cancer or doing rocket science or like, sports are supposed to have emotions. They shouldn't be looking at you sideways. The way that game ended and the way that game went, there should be emotion. I think you were doing it right. To hell with everybody else on that damn row.
Well, thank you. Well, I got snitched on earlier in the year when the first Zion game I went to at Cameron, it was like, you got to see him in person, Pat. Like, it's just an insane experience. And it reminds me a little bit of an athlete who just retired, who we'll talk about a little bit later. But he jumped out for like one of those crazy volleyball blocks with the two hands. And I went, it was like an involuntary utterance, and somebody snitched on me down there as well. But listen, that's not here. We're here to talk football, mostly, not really, a little bit. And this show's going to be a little different, okay? So usually we have a section at the end of the show called Dinks and Dunks where I ask an assortment of questions. Lenny always gets one question. But this show, because the football news is a little bit quiet this week, we're going to do a supersized Dinks and Dunks, a mix of football and non-football questions. I have written them all for you, Pat. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah. I'm excited for the Dinks and Dunks to get you in a nice rhythm, to get this offense flowing, and to really just move through this podcast in an exquisite fashion. Let's dink and dunk all over the internet.
And now it's time for Dinks and Dunks. I'm getting paid for this, right?
All right. First question is really football-y. I figured that way I could not alienate my core audience. So you spent your entire career with the Colts, correct?
That is correct.
You're like, yes, simple information you could have looked up on the internet beforehand, Mina. And I know you follow the team closely. I've heard you weigh in on them. So I want to, you know, we talked last week with Kirk Morrison about winners and losers in the free agency. And we didn't spend a ton of time on the Colts because despite having more money than God, they didn't do a lot. So I wanted to ask you, as like a Colts enthusiast, Colts observer, close watcher of the team, a local, I believe you still live in the area, are you happy with their free agency?
So that's an interesting question. And I saw a lot of people on the internet and on the TVs going after Chris Ballard for having all this money and not just being loosey-goosey with it, not just throwing it around and taking shots at big-time names and big-time players. But Chris Ballard has been very consistent since the beginning. Whenever he came to town with his southern drawl from Texas and his good-looking hair and his handsome young face, he had the same plan. He was going to build the team from within. He was going to build through the draft and through undrafted free agency. And he always said that he wants to be an organization that takes care of their own. So if he wants to take care of his own young players, Darius Leonard, Quentin Nelson, T.Y. Hilton, Chester Rogers, there's a lot of young guys that are in that organization right now. If he wants to take care of them, you have to start preparing for that early with your cast. So He was very open about not being a crazy spender in the free agency. And then whenever he wasn't a crazy spender in the free agency, the world kind of flipped upside down for a quick minute. And then he signed Justin Houston, which is going to help the team immensely. And everybody's back on his side. So the city of Indianapolis might have been getting a bit antsy, but as soon as he did that one signing, especially with how they ended last year, I think the city of Indianapolis is excited to be Colts fans again. And I think Chris Ballard is a genius. So whatever decision he makes, I'm a big fan of Chris Ballard. I like the way he operates. He's a smooth cat, Mina. He's a smooth cat.
Listen, you're preaching to the choir. Literally, the words I used last week were, "I worship at the altar of Chris Ballard." Dude had probably one of the best early drafts we've seen of the last decade. That's hyperbolic, but I don't care. He looks like a dad in Pleasantville who seems really strict at first, but then by the end, he's like dancing and wearing color. Like, I like everything he's about. I like what he's done. I was nervous because, as I mentioned last week, as soon as I praised him, like 10 sec, I was like, ooh, I like Chris Ballard being careful and conservative. Then he went out and signed Funchess for $13 million, which I did not love. I didn't love that. I wanted them to go after like a slot guy, like a Cobb, Tate, Crowder to pair with T.Y. as a downfield threat. I thought that, I don't know, just that seemed exciting for me, and I'm sure it's something they'll look at in the draft. Like, I would love a guy like Paris Campbell or something, you know, like a little speedster in that offense. But I agree with you, the Houston signing, I think, is probably, if not the best, one of the best pass rush signings of the entire free agency, given the value and the fact that it's 2 years, right? Because you mentioned very smartly and correctly, he's going to have to pay all these young studs in a few years. And so to have your, you know, premier pass rusher, even if he's, you know, getting up in the years, 30, like that's just smart team building. So I'm still with him. I'm with you. I'm with Indianapolis.
Well, I'm going to send him a text and let him know that we're all still with him. You know, I'm going to let he and I are in a texting relationship. I'm going to let him know.
Oh, wow.
That Mina Kimes, superstar from ESPN, who gets a little bit rattled on Media Row when there's something happens, is still with you. But I think he, honestly, the guy hasn't made many mistakes since he's gotten the GM position. He was highly sought after whenever he came to the Colts, and everything he does, you just kind of got to trust and believe in. Until they go to shit, and then you just kind of bail on him. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that here, but I have a lot of faith in the guy, and I think the city of Indy does, and I'm happy you do as well.
What's his texting style?
He sends, like, it's very conversational. He uses proper grammatics, you know. He uses one period, double space after that, capital letters. He uses commas to indicate a little pause, where I use two periods instead. He's got it all put together pretty well, both intellectually and intellectually. And I think that is something that is really the two recipes, two things that a recipe you need for a good GM.
Just want to add a little bit. So, you know, there were a few other signings. Pierre Desir, who the cornerback, I thought was one of the more underrated cornerbacks of last year, was a former Seahawk, really had a career season. They got him pretty cheap. You know, just like role players, guys like Glowinski, Marcus Hunt, Clayton Gathers. I mean, it all adds up, I think, to a pretty decent offseason, even if it wasn't as flashy as some would have wanted. Question two, Pat. If all of the NFL coaches got in a Thunderdome style battle, who would be the last two and who would win? Like, no, you can do whatever you want.
You're going to assume that Belichick is going to survive somehow, you know? Belichick is going to outsmart, outwit everybody somehow, some way. Somehow, that's how he's going to talk the entire time. And he is going to survive to be one of the last two. And the other guy I'm going to take, I think it has to be, I don't know. I'm torn between.
Take your time. Sean McVay, your time.
What? Sean McVay is young,
really?
And funky.
That
you
little
know?
Guy?
Well, he's got a lot of energy. He's a young guy. And from what I've heard, he runs routes at practice. He's in the drills. I mean, he is a very active coach. So you would think if it was a battle royale type thing where you have to survive, you would think maybe a younger guy could do it. Frank Reich, though, he's got the most grit of any head coach. I mean, you got to remember,
Stop.
Two of the biggest,
Stop.
two of the biggest, Yep. Two of the biggest comebacks in football history, both in college and in the NFL, are held by Frank Reich. So the amount of grit that he has is next level. And that might be a little hometown cooking, but in a battle royale of 31 coaches, since we're already putting Belichick at one of them, grit is something you're going to need. I like him a lot. Adam Gase seems to have a lot of energy at his press conferences, especially his debut ones. He's got, it seems to be an unendless amount of energy with his eyes being wide open and ready to go. Maybe Adam Gase is in there strictly from the energy factor. But I'm going to have to go with Frank Reich, and Bill Belichick will be the last two. Frank because of grit, Bill because it's Belichick, and that's just the way things go.
So I scoffed at your Frank Reich pick because I think of him with those little glasses and he just looks like a very chill college professor. But glasses can be deceiving. Glasses can hide, you know, furor and strength. So I don't want to throw him out completely, but I mean, Dan Quinn, Stone Cold Dan Quinn, Frank Reich doesn't want to catch those hands.
Dan Quinn is a guy that you would have to fear with that bald head. I mean, it is something to think about. That Andy Reid, too, ain't going down without a fight. I mean, Andy Reid is going to be able to handle his business. He busts through the wall like Kool-Aid Man on a GIF. I see it every single day on the internet.
Freddie Kitchens.
He's young and funny. I think he's out early. And honestly, I think they might battle him early. Yeah, he's too funny. He's happy. He's a good guy. So I think he's going to do well with the Browns. But in a fight to the death, I think they might go after him early. Bruce Arians has a way about him of kind of making things happen. He might survive the whole damn thing. He was retired, comes back to Tampa. He might have a little bit more to live for. I really don't know. I think it's a good question. But I'm going to stick with Frank Reich strictly because of the grit factor.
Wow. I'm really glad you went with Belichick, because actually before the Super Bowl, I was arguing with someone that Belichick would beat McVay in the octagon, and people looked at me like I was crazy, and I said, well, like, you know, in UFC, there's always weird rules, and you don't understand. Sometimes you're like, I don't understand how this tapped out, whatever. Nobody would be able to exploit those rules quicker than Belichick. Like, all hands, anything goes battle situation, my money is on Bill Belichick every time, even though, you know, he's in his 90s or whatever.
Don't rule out that old guy up in the box, too, that helps him out. Don't rule out that guy that's going to help him in the fight. I mean, that's something that needs to be taken seriously, because whenever there's situational advantages to be had and you got a guy up in the crow's nest who's got a big old brain with you, I mean, that's going to help Belichick out as well.
Yeah, and I feel like he would take advantage, like he would, like, I don't know, grind his tooth into a shiv or something. Just, you know, like figure out some sort of shocking advantage. You think Kitchens would go out first, huh?
Yeah, I think
the Bengals higher? Too nice.
I couldn't even guess. Freddie Kitchens, I think, is going out early, strictly because he's a good guy, nice guy, funny guy. And he's younger, so I think they just kind of tag team him into oblivion. But I like Freddie Kitchens. I like what he's about to do in Cleveland. But in this battle layout thing, I think he's out early, in my eyes. I think he's out early. Matt Nagy, okay, here's a guy who started Club Dub, got a lot of energy. His team loves him up there. He's got a little wrinkle in the playbook every single week he likes to do. Maybe he's a guy that can maybe scheme and strategize his way to the final two. I like the way he operates as well, now that I think about it. He might be a contender.
And you feel like him and Reed could team up, you know, with their allegiance. Actually, I love the thought of allegiances and tag teams, because I feel like what would happen is in this battle royale is what would actually happens in the NFL, which is Bill Belichick would form an alliance with his coaching tree and then at the last second kill them all.
Well, I think that is what happens if you look at his coaching tree. I mean, there isn't much success outside of there, and it's because the New England way is the New England way for a reason. It's tough to install in other places. Matt Patricia with that Ticonderoga number 2 pencil, too. That's a weapon that's going to be in there that is damn near a shiv already. Something to think about.
Pencil to the eye. Yeah, just don't you see Belichick, like, you remember Krang from the Ninja Turtles, the Krang? That's a kind of a weird reference. I'm trying to think of another one. But I feel like he'd have Patricia as his, like, body man actually doing the physical labor in this fight. And then at the end, he would use the pencil and then, like, stab Patricia in the eye. Okay, well, I think we're in agreement, at least about him getting there, although I'm not really with you on right. Hey, I want to ask you, my third question is kind of topical. So the owners' meetings are going on, and very hot topic. I think it's going to get punted. How do you feel about, by the way, punted being like a negative verb in like general parlance? Like when you kick something down the road, you're punting on it. How do you feel about that? Does that make you feel bad?
Oh, it's a strategic turnover. It's just all in the wording. A punt is a strategic turnover, a strategic delay. That's all it is. It's just big brain stuff. It's all about how you word it and look at it. Obviously, you can view anything as a negative or a positive. Punting is just a smart decision and deciding and figuring out something later. Yeah, I don't take any offense to that.
I like this, that strategic thought. Well, so, you know, they're probably going to punt on this, but, you know, the hat topic down there right now is replay, reviewable calls, you know, the Peyton stuff. Well, so there's a couple proposals. We're recording on Tuesday, by the way, so this could be, there could be some movement on this. I think it's going to be, continue to be sort of a matter of debate. One proposal was to add pass interference to the list of reviewable plays. The second would also add roughing the passer and defenseless hits. Sean Payton has also, who obviously has a bit of a dog in this fight, being cheated out of that championship, has said he wants the refs to be full-time. He said, that has to change. It's too hard. There's too much at stake for someone who's a teacher at a school, who's a florist, an attorney. Didn't know any of the refs were florists, but now I want to know. Anyways, I wanted to ask you, how do you feel about those expansions for replay? How do you feel about, are you like a pro replay guy or an anti replay guy?
Oh, I'm a pro replay guy. Big time pro replay guy. If everybody at home can see something, I don't know why the refs, who are put in a terrible position with the modern technology, nobody's pulling for the refs. Nobody. They have no fans. Everybody's waiting for them to mess up and then get shown that they messed up by the technology that we have. I am very much a pro replay person. I think every single call should be replayable, to be honest. Even if it's a hold, if it's a bad hold or a good hold, it should be replayable. If they get it wrong, they lose it. If they get it right, they keep the replay or the challenge. In my head, that's how it goes, because think about the Green Bay Packers. Those Clay Matthews roughing the passer calls that were kind of BS, those changed their entire season as well.
Yes.
Not only the New Orleans, a holding penalty completely on the offense completely stalls an offensive drive. I think Sean Payton's right. There is a lot at risk. There's a lot of money on the line. There's a lot of careers and families. And now that sports gambling's become an illegal thing, there's a lot of billions and billions of dollars on the line everywhere. The refs are in a terrible spot. Nobody likes the florist who makes a mistake. They love his peonies. They don't love it, the ref making a mistake. We might as well allow the opportunity to get it right, keep it moving, and it's more money for the NFL anyways. A replay, a challenge, is another way to sell advertisements. I don't fully understand it. I know there's the old traditional folks that are like, well, the game doesn't need it. We made it this far without replay. I was like, yeah, but we can make the game a little bit better. And we can make the game a little bit better for every and more fair for everybody involved. And I think that's the right thing to do. I don't know if it'll ever get there. I hope so at some point.
I like that your traditionalist is Southern, by the way.
Well, that's right. It's an old country guy. You know, it's an old boys club.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of billionaires. Yeah. It's a bunch of billionaires out there, Mina. It's a bunch of billionaires.
If I could do a Southern accent, my traditional parody voice would also be Southern. Instead, it's more like, I don't like replays. That's also my Andrew Luck voice, though. But anyways, I also love peanuts, by the way. I'm with you so much. Like, I just feel like the Pandora's box is already open. When the fans at home can see it, you can't go back in time on the field, right? Because if we're able to see these things, you can't undo that. Like, you can't be like, well, let's just not show stuff to fans anymore. Like, you can't turn back the clock. Now, the concern people have is that this is going to, like, drag games on, you know? And my feeling on that is just find a way to make them really quick. Because if it's an obvious mistake, we see it really quickly. And, like, not one of those things where, you know, you look at the strings from 300 different angles and it could still be interpreted 1,000 different ways. Because those, whatever, those will go different ways. But get the obvious calls right. You know, like the Saints one, for example. You know, anyone saw what happened? Actually,
Mina.
I saw that in real time, but.
Mina. You are scratching me where I itch with that. I got to call a college football game, and I got to call an NFL game this past year. I'm not sure I ever get to call a game again, but the first call that went to replay at the college football game, this ref was staring at about a 5 by 5 inch little screen to see the replay. We're at Jerry World. The Jumbotron at Jerry World is literally 60 yards long,
yes.
70 yards
Look
long by 20 yards high, and it's 4K the entire thing. They're showing the replay right above the ref on a 100-yard 4K screen, and this dummy's looking at a little tiny computer with a little earpiece in, calling to New York or wherever it is. In my eyes, they should be able to look at the Jumbotron, correct their mistake on the go,
yeah.
have an earpiece in with maybe somebody watching the replays in a booth somewhere just to directly call into them, like, boop, boop, Flores, yeah, you messed it up. Look at the replay. Let's fix it. Let's keep it moving. Almost like the AAF has been doing, the AAFL has been doing. I think there's a way to expedite the entire process. You couldn't be more right with that whole thing.
When you mentioned scratching your itch, I was thinking like behind the ears. Is that okay? Like Len, that's Lenny's favorite place to be itched, behind the ears.
My dog likes the butt. Yeah, my dog likes the butt rub, right? The hips and butt.
Yes, my dog likes that too. Yeah, like when he's facing this. Actually, that's I could describe that, but it sounds kind of weird. Question four: Will Rob Gronkowski?
You're a doggy style. You're a doggy style petting over here. Yeah, I saw what you were saying.
Heavy petting.
That was interesting. Yeah, gotcha. Petting. Yeah. Unbelievable. The butt is where my dog likes to be scratched. So yeah.
Are you petting her? Are you petting her right now?
No, she's at home in my office. I actually kind of miss her right now, to be honest. I'll get pictures from my lady throughout the day of her just like asking me when I'm going to come home with like a cute little caption on it. It really tugs at the heartstrings. It really tugs at the heartstrings.
Do you, when, I'm going to get back to the Gronkowski question, I swear, but when you're flying home from a trip, do you ever scroll through albums that are just pictures of your dogs, or is that weird?
No, I don't. My lady would, and my lady does, but it's not I don't scroll through albums of just my dog, but I do get pictures of my dog sent to me on a regular basis, so I think the difference between you and I is you go to the on-demand section, mine is live, but you know what I mean? You go back to the saved photos, mine are actively being updated. So, yes, I think it's kind of the same thing, yeah.
I'm reliving my dog's greatest hits, basically, and I have some videos, too. Feel like I'm revealing a little bit too much. So, Gronk, is he coming back? Are you buying? This is it. That's what was the actual question.
Well, I mean, Rosenhaus coming out. Rosenhaus has done an incredible job, by the way, with all of his clients and getting them a lot of money and a lot of media. And also being a guy who has a Sports Center commercial and a guy that still wears the Bluetooth headset and looking cool. I don't know how you do that. Classic agent being an agent. I'm not sure this is it for Gronkowski. I think he might get the itch. He said he just wants to hang out for a while, which I completely respect and understand. Greatest tight end of all time whenever he was playing. I don't know. I think the world is a better place when Gronkowski's playing football, but who knows what he's going to get into next. Maybe he'll find a Brinks truck in movies somewhere, and that'll take up his time. I don't know. I think there's a chance he comes back and plays, but I also think there's a chance that he's about to hit a scratch-off massively in some other business and profession, and I think he might just ride off into the sunset, come back as a hero in New England every once in a while, wave to the crowd, sit in Kraft's suite up there at China Orchid, and then just have a good time throughout the whole thing.
A lot of people have sort of speculated WWE. I mean, I remember one of his friends, Mojo, right, is in WWE, and I think it was like 2 years ago that he did WrestleMania or something, or WWE Raw. But, you know, after the Super Bowl, Pat, I did a story on Gronk, and I remember waiting for him in the locker room, and he could barely walk. Like, one of his legs was swollen the size of... It was bigger than my torso. I'm looking at my, like, trying to, it's like if me and Lenny hugged, maybe that would be one of his legs. He is in so much pain all the time, and people act like WWE is just acting. Like, it's very physical, you know? So I kind of doubt that. That said, it's really, like, especially a guy like him who loves the game so much, loves the team aspect, like, just loves everything about it. It can be really hard. When you're a few months out, you really miss it, from what I've heard. So I guess I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back. And I don't know. It's weird, by the way, over the last day or so, as this news has come out, watching the debate over whether he's Hall of Fame, first ballot Hall of Fame, like, Rob Gronkowski is the greatest person to ever play the position. I don't, like, that doesn't seem particularly debatable to me.
Yeah, I'm on your side here. I don't think so either. I think anybody that's saying that it isn't is just trying to be a troll and get some clicks, which ESPN people love doing. I think whenever Gronkowski was on the field, he was magical. And the reason why he was so banged up is because he was such a big target. I mean, he took a lot of hits. His body is also not supposed to do the things his body did. He had the ability to block your best defensive end, and he also had the ability to outrun your safety or linebacker while having the greatest hands on the field. I mean, he was put together in a way to be an Adonis on the field, but with that can come a lot of negativity on the backside for his body. And I honestly believe that he was about done a year ago until Tom Brady came off the camel and got him back into it for another run. They get a Super Bowl. I think he's done, but just like Rosenhaus said, if there's a big moment and they need a tight end and Gronkowski can pee clean, I think not from steroids, but I'm talking about street drugs. I think there is a chance that he definitely gets back into the game at some point, but I think he'll take at least a year off. And WWE, that is a grueling schedule for professional wrestlers. Yeah. So I don't think he'll be a full-time sports entertainment guy, but I think there's definitely opportunities to make appearances and make some money with the WWE because he is a sports entertainer. He's a hilarious human.
If he does come back for, you know, like the playoffs or whatever, I just hope he does it in a really cool way. Like they lower him from the ceiling or something, or, you know, like he appears in a cloud of smoke, like very theatrical, because we know that the Patriots love fun and theatrics. Okay, last question before the mailbag. Who's going to be the worst team in the NFL next year? You're positive, guy, so I feel like this is a hard one for you.
It is. I just ran through every division in my head real quick, and For some reason, I'm thinking the Arizona Cardinals, even though one of my best friends is their starting center, strictly because new head coach, the quarterback, deleted all of his posts off the internet currently. There's a big situation. Kyler Murray is going to come in. Maybe Kyler is another Baker Mayfield and it's just a complete stud. But for me, I think the Arizona Cardinals have a lot of question marks to figure out. Maybe the Miami Dolphins as well, because they're in the Patriots division. Everybody knows that. But also just because the Miami Dolphins have had a history of being rough here for a while. No offense to your dog, rough. But I think the card, I'm going with the Dolphins.
Well, like, wait, so listen, we've given a lot of love to the Dolphins offseason on this podcast because I am Team Fish Tank. I want embrace the suck is where basically I'm at with these things. Like if you're a bad team, be a bad team, own that you're a bad team, get the draft, you know, get those draft picks, get the cap space, get ready to go after Tua or, you know, Trevor Lawrence if it comes to that. But when you talk about the Cardinals, it does make me a little concerned. First of all, then they went out and got Fitzpatrick, who I think is going to mess around and win a few games. In an annoying fashion.
Hold on. Mina, I'm so sorry. I just remembered that they signed Fitzmagic. I have to take that back completely. I am not picking against Fitzmagic. Let's go with the Cardinals. It's going to be a rebuild year for them with old Kingsbury's first year. I'm sticking with the Cardinals, even though I have a lot of friends over there. I think in a couple of years they're going to be great, just not next year. I'm sorry, Mina. I had to get that out because I don't want to go against Fitzmagic ever.
Yeah, you got to speak your truth. I'm with you. I think Kyler, and it certainly seems like it's going to be Kyler right now. I'm a huge fan. He doesn't have a lot of dudes to throw to down there, so could be some growing pains. But, you know, maybe if they trade Rosen, they get a pick, they get a wide receiver, things can be on the ups. But I think Arizona is like a decent pick. All right, before we get to the remaining questions, as always, we are going to take a few questions from listeners. If you leave them in the iTunes reviews and the review is positive and my mom likes it, we will answer them. So let's hear them.
Question. Lenny, for your thoughts.
I want you to answer this one too, Pat. Mixed Cheese Sticks, I think that's his name, asks, have you done doggy DNA for Lenny? Of course I have. I've done it twice, and I got two different results. So Lenny's a mutt. The first test came back and said, I think they call it Wisdom Canine or something. I forget the name of the, sponsor me wherever you are. I think the first one came back and it was outrageous. It said Lenny was a like French bulldog Pomeranian mix. Then the second one felt a little bit more accurate. It said Jack Russell Terrier, Chihuahua, also Pomeranian. So I don't really know what to believe, and I'm kind of surprised that this company didn't cross-reference the results. Pat, have you ever done this for your dog?
I have not, but your dog sounds like an interesting mix there. I adopt, don't shop. I love that you have a mutt. I do as well. Well, I've just always gone with what my lady told me, that she's a Shar Pei pit bull mix. I didn't even know these tests exist. Sounds like a big hustle to me, but I mean, who am I to talk about it? But I just assume what my lady says is true.
You know, it does sound like a hustle, but you don't send a picture of the dog. So, because then I someone should start a business where you just send a picture and then they're like, yeah, I definitely tested the DNA. have you ever done the human one? The human DNA? The 23andMe?
Oh, yeah. I did that, and I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I'm obviously an Irish person. Patrick McAfee is my name. I grew up around all Italians, okay? So all of my friends are Italian. I basically grew up it felt like I was in Italy. So I always mock the Italians for everything. You know, Italians have great food, a beautiful culture, organized crime, a lot of things under their belt. And I literally, my best friends were all Italian. And then I did that 23andMe thing. I spit into a cup as soon as I woke up, and I got back that I'm 0.09% Italian. And that was quite a wild day. I owed a lot of people an apology, and I felt like a brand new man.
So I'm half Korean, by the way, and it came back fully half Korean, almost exactly. I have been told my whole life that I was half German, and we had like Mormon relatives somewhere who did like a whole genealogy. That's kind of their jam. They do these like really intense genealogies. And then I did this test, and my brother did too, and we both got, British Irish. So family lies,
hey.
Apparently. Yeah. So we're, what is the Irish, like, not paisan, like, what do you, if we're countrymen, what is that?
So you just kind of say, like, sláinte, I believe, is, like, cheers in Ireland. For me, okay. I am half Irish, half German, I thought, but then that 0.09% Italian popped in there, and it changed my entire life. Paisan.
Paisan, that's it. Franco OMB asks, would you quit your day job to become GM of your favorite team's biggest rival? Pat, I'm a fan of the Seattle Seahawks, so that would have been the Niners. Now it's kind of the Rams. Because I would be a terrible GM. But if you could be GM of any team, what would you choose right now? I would want to come into a team like the Dolphins, where the expectations are low.
Hey, the amount of honesty you just had there is, no, I'd be a terrible GM. It's hysterical to think about. Yeah, you definitely take that. I mean, growing up in Pittsburgh, I was supposed to be a Pittsburgh Steeler in everybody's eyes. My parents were diehard Steelers fans. They didn't draft me. The Colts did. So my dad said that the Steelers could have bought my love and bought his son, and instead the Colts did. So he shipped his fanhood to Indianapolis for a year, or for eight years. And I think that same thing with the GM. I think you definitely take that gig. No matter who's offering a general manager job, there's only 32 of them. They pay very well, and you get to play real-life fantasy football. I mean, you get out there and pull that trigger, Mina. You go do your thing, and you might be better than a lot of these current GMs currently.
You think? Okay. All right, maybe I would.
Yeah,
I had to be better than the Giants, right?
I think you would do good.
Yeah, I think I would. I would, like, New York, like, after the Gettleman stuff, I'll come. You guys, I accept in advance. RAJK8976. Some of the number ones, I'm like, I really hope it's not a password or a phone number. Where does Matt Stafford fall in your power rankings? Ooh, that's actually kind of complicated. I'm just going to throw out a random number and say 14.
Oh, you're putting him middle of the pack? I think he's top 10 quarterback. Like,
you think? It gets tough, man, when you start like actually putting them together, because then you ask questions like Matt Stafford or Baker Mayfield. I prefer Baker Mayfield. Like some of these young guys, obviously Mahomes near the top. Like it's tough. I would say he's in the 10 to solidly in the 10 to 15 range for me, but you know, it's been tough up there. In Detroit.
Matt Stafford and I got drafted in the same draft class. He got $60 million guaranteed. I got $25,000 guaranteed. I am a big fan of it.
Oh, the old pre-CBA money. Kevin D713 asks, is Adnan from Serial guilty? Did you listen to Serial?
Me?
Yeah. Because I didn't have a good answer for this.
I saw the case against them on the Netflix. I didn't dive into it, but I heard it's pretty good.
Okay. I'm going to say yes, just based on the limited information I've heard about it. Anastasia226 asks, is the last question, when will my Giants be better again? So poor Anastasia asked this question in January. Yes, I'm a little bit behind on the question. Sorry. She's obviously been through a lot since then. I'll give it 4 years. How about you?
I like what has happened there. I think there might have been a lot of tension in that locker room. Obviously, the Lil Wayne interview with OBJ right before a game where he called everything out isn't great. Maybe the Giants and the Cardinals are my team competing for who's going to have the worst season. But I think in the next couple of years, Saquon Barkley is going to put that team all the way on his back, though, and go for it. I like the Giants. I hope they do well. I drank wine in Eli Manning's condo over there in New Jersey. I'm a big fan of the Manning family. I hope he finishes his career on a high note, but I think it's going to take a couple of years. And I think Saquon Barkley is the truth, though.
Yeah, I agree if it turns out that Saquon Barkley can play quarterback. But then I agree with you. Okay. By the way, guys, check out The Right Time with Bomani Jones on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Yesterday, he did a voicemail segment on HBO's documentary, The Inventor, about Elizabeth Holmes. Haven't seen that yet, but I want to. Today, Bo is talking to G League Commissioner and former NBA All-Star Sharif Abdur-Rahim about the changing path from preps to pros. Great podcast. You should definitely check that out. Also, check out the podcast of our guest today, Pat McAfee. It's the Pat McAfee Show. He doesn't really need you because he's already really like hella popular, but you should check it out anyways. And Pat, we're back to our questions for you now. All right. And this is the wrestling one that I promised. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. And thanks for that plug there. It's Pat McAfee Show 2.0. We had to revamp it.
2.0. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I went dolo. And I appreciate that. But I would not want to listen if I were you. Too much of me is too much of me.
You know, it's really great for long car rides. It's a very long podcast and has that kind of Levitard feel because I know a lot of you guys like that show. And it's just a bunch of friends yucking it up. And you get to hang out with them for a while. And it's really fun. So I'm like, before I get to this wrestling question, Pat, tell me what you're doing for WWE. It's NXT, right?
Yeah, I'm on an NXT pre-show, so I'm just on like a panel that happens before the pay-per-views for NXT, which is the same as any NFL pre-shows that happen. I'm on a panel. I should chat about the upcoming matches and things like that. They very dumb things into a microphone while wearing a suit. It's an interesting a jorts suit. Normally, I have jorts on with it. And then I create content on the internet for them. So right now it's just an agreement to make content together, and who knows what'll happen in the future.
I wish I could wear a jorts suit. So little known fact about me, I don't think I've ever gotten into this. I actually did watch wrestling growing up because I had the misfortune of having an older brother who controlled all forms of content in the Kimes household. A lot of time spent sitting behind him on a computer watching him play Halo, and he loved wrestling. So here's the revelation. Pat, I don't think we've never met. I have long dark hair, and I've always had long dark hair, which means that when my brother wanted to play wrestling growing up, us being 90s kids, I always had to play the part of the Undertaker. So I know many of his moves, movements, general demeanor. I've got it all on lockdown in some part of my brain.
Yeah, I love that. I love everything about that. You're the dead man. I like a little tombstone. Maybe walk a little slow. Let the lightning hit. Lights are out. Lights are on. That's a legendary human to be. I'm very impressed with that decision of you to be the Undertaker. That's the guy of all the guys when it comes to the wrestling business.
Oh, it definitely was not my decision.
You were forced into it.
Yeah. Well, again, older brother stuff. Older brother stuff.
I used to watch. I used to watch my brother play all the video games as well. I suck at them. My older brother, though, is really good. I haven't played a video game since my brother beat me in Madden when I was like 12. It was a bad night. It was a bad night in the McAfee house. I woke up my parents out of anger. I was supposed to win. I lost. I haven't played again, but I spent many a night watching my brother play video games as well. I can feel your pain, Mina. I can feel your pain.
I got about 10 minutes for every 2 hours of him on the computer, which was a really unfair ratio in retrospect and explains why I'm bad at video games. My question for you, though, is so pushing Gronk aside, Which current NFL player do you think would be the best pro wrestler?
I like Baker Mayfield's swag a lot. I like his everything that Baker Mayfield represents, how he's confident, borderline cocky, he plays hard, works hard, has a lot of fun. I think he would be good on the microphone. Travis Kelce also another. I mean,
yes,
I don't want to say that's another Gronk, but Travis Kelce is a guy that would be great, I think, in sports entertainment. He also loves fashion, so I'd be impressed by his gimmick and what he would wear to the ring. I think those tight ends and D ends are a good build of human to get in there, but personality is very important. I think that kind of gets forgotten the whole conversation. And I think Baker Mayfield is a guy that could cut a promo pretty well if he had to. And I would put a combination of Baker Mayfield and Travis Kelce.
That's a good answer. I had another Brown in mind, and it's a DN. I was thinking Myles Garrett would be really good because obviously he's like crazy, crazy, crazy jacked. But he also has like a lot of really weird interests, or not weird, but cool interests. Like he's really into dinosaurs, you know, and science. And I feel like he could turn those into a cool character, like the archaeologist or something like that.
Yeah, I think little kids would love him. I think that's for sure. I think maybe children would be a big fan of that operation. I think somebody that should be thought about maybe is Earl Thomas, too. A guy who flipped off a coach. That's a very sports entertainment move. I think that is something to think about.
That was a real, like, pro wrestling style
moment. Yeah,
Earl Thomas, by the way, as a Seahawks fan, is one of – Marshawn Lynch is my favorite Seahawk of all time. And Kenny Easley, is a safety from the 80s, is number two. But Earl Thomas is solidly number three. Most talented football player I think I've ever seen on that team. It's just amazing. They're coming back. Baltimore's playing Seattle, so that's – don't boo him, guys. If you're listening, don't boo him. Unless he flips you off again, then you can boo him. Next question. So you're from Pittsburgh.
He said he didn't. Hey, hold on. He did not flip off the Seahawks faithful. He flipped off one particular person.
Oh yeah.
And that's Pete Carroll. He said Pete Carroll was the target of that middle finger, that bird, just like the ESPN building was the target of that bird this morning. Pete Carroll was the target of that bird, not the Seahawks faithful. So I think that should be remembered.
That should be remembered. You're 100% right. Dude, he's just a legend. You don't have this dynasty without Earl Thomas. You don't have the Pete Carroll defense without Earl Thomas. You don't have that scheme without Earl Thomas and whatever. And he's responsible for a lot of my personal happiness, maybe a little bit too much over the last few years. Okay, next question is about you being from Pittsburgh, because I did not know that. And so I'm assuming you grew up as a Steelers fan, right?
I was a fan of players more so than teams. I my dad used to throw the remote and live or die with the black and gold on Sundays. So I stuck away from the fanhood of a team and went with the players. But whenever the Steelers won, life in Pittsburgh was much, much, much better. So I enjoyed watching them win.
Well, I want to ask you about the Steelers. Obviously, look, we're not going to relitigate any of the drama. But, and by the way, did you see Juju's post about how much he loves Ben? I was like, that's
a pander.
That's a dude who's ready to get paid.
Yeah, such a pander. And then James Conner also tagged that thing and said, good God, they're the new Lev Bell and Antonio Brown. I'll be excited to see if Big Ben can do the same things he did with AB and Lev with those two.
Well, yes, and that kind of brings me to my next question, which is, do you think the Browns, the Steelers, or the Ravens, sorry, Cincinnati, should be the favorite to win that division next year?
I think it has to be the Browns, strictly because of the amount of firepower that they've brought in and how well they did at the end of last year. I mean, when Baker finally got on the field, shout out Hugh Jackson making terrible decisions, he was electric out there. And I think that brought a revamped energy to the city of Cleveland and to the dog pound. Freddie Kitchens seems to get along with Baker very well, which is huge in the modern NFL world. And the firepower they've brought in is incredible. The defense is stacked. I like the Browns a lot, but Mike Tomlin and the Steelers will always find a way to be good. The Baltimore Ravens say they're going to change the game of football and take it old school. They're going to be a running team. I'll be excited to see if Lamar Jackson can hold up. It's a rough week, the NFL. I think that offense could be fun to watch, but it has to be the Browns' division to lose, which nobody in a million years would have ever guessed anybody would be saying just, 370 days ago.
It's amazing how quickly a quarterback can just change everything for a team. You know, I think you can actually make a case for all three of these teams. I think it's the Browns, first of all. I agree with you. We're agreeing a lot, by the way, on this podcast, which I like. And I like some of the Ravens. Good brains. Yes. Good brains. Ravens did lose some defensive talent. But I like the Ingram who just feels, Mark Ingram feels like he should have been on the Ravens all along. He's like one of those guys. Obviously, I just said how I feel about Earl Thomas. The Steelers, I think, like, there's probably a lot of concerns about the offense. I actually think the offense is, they're not going to be as good as with the Triple Bs. They'll be fine. I'm still worried about that defense, the spine of the defense, the softness in the middle. I just don't believe they've fixed the problems. They, you know, they signed Mark Barons, like, okay. So I, on paper, the Browns are very clearly to me the best team in this division, but there's a big difference between on paper and on the field, as we know in the old NFL. Next question's a very serious one. Would you pay $1,000 to have an hour-long conversation with your dog?
Yes, 1,000%. I'd pay $10,000 to get an hour-long
Really?
Conversation.
Okay, I was going to keep escalating the dollar figure to see where you were going to stop. $15,000?
Yeah. I mean, I've made very poor purchases in my life. I bought a wrestling ring at like 3 a.m. whenever I was younger, and I still have it in my barn. It never gets used. I mean, if I could talk to Valerie, I mean, I'm Dr. Doolittle all of a sudden. Yeah, $15,000 to be Dr. Doolittle for sure.
Okay, so many thoughts about this. First of all, I'm aware that this is the whitest conversation that's ever happened on this podcast, and y'all, I know what it is, but I would, my dollar figure would go very, very high, obviously. But Pat, I'm also like concerned because part of the reason I love my dog so much is like the unconditional love he gives me. What if your dog was like, Pat, I don't know where her voice is. I'm doing my dog's voice. Pat. No, that's terrible. Ugh, I'm trying to do like a girl dog voice, but forget it. I'm not going to do it. But what if she was like, hey, I actually don't like it when you scratch my butt. I actually don't like the food you give me. And all these years you've thought that I loved everything and I actually don't. And I'm glad now that I have a chance to, you know, air out some of these takes.
Well, if I'm paying $15,000 to have a conversation with her, I mean, we're going to have a civilized conversation. She says that she doesn't like it. I'm going to tell her, well, then she shouldn't have been wagging her damn tail every time I did it. You're sending out weird, weird signs. You need to change the way you act, Valerie, then. How about that? I'm not scared to have a real conversation if she wants to go that way, but I do believe she likes a good butt rub.
What questions – we're going to spend more time on this than any football question. What questions would you ask your dog? Like, would you ask her for her preferences – her, like, just so that you could have, like, she could have the best life going forward, like, what's her favorite things? Or would you want her thoughts on life and the world and a dog's view?
I think I'm going to stay away from the world view stuff. Like, I don't want to get it too dramatic, you know? I just want to talk to her about, you know, like, since, because my lady brought her with into the relationship. I would just use it. I would be looking for ammo, you know, with Val. Like, how much better has your life become since I have joined it? I would like to hear your answer so I can hold this over your mother's head later. I would also, obviously, an hour's a long time, but I would have a notebook out. I would want to know what her favorite food is, what she likes, what she doesn't like, so we can make her life fantastic. Maybe if she has a little bit of an ail, like, what's going on? How do we fix it? Let's make sure she's 100%. But other than that, I just kind of want to get to know her a little bit more, you know, like a little bit deeper than just scratch, you know, like let's not just scratch the surface here. Let's dig a little deeper and find out what we got.
I also just worry though that like Lenny has problematic opinions that I don't know about, or even worse, what if he's like, hey mom, I've been wearing this Seahawks collar for 8 years and I freaking hate it. And actually this whole time I love the Cowboys. That would break my heart. Break it.
Yeah, but you got to respect Lenny's opinions, you know? Like you just got to know that sometimes you and your friends aren't going to agree on everything. You just got to learn to get along, and that's the way it is. Maybe that conversation afterwards, at the end of that thing, whenever the time's about up, you got to let that dog know that, like, hey, whenever you go back to talking, guess what? It's my job to let you outside to poop. So unless you want to poop all over yourself, let's come to an agreement. You got to remember that. In this situation, you are the alpha. That's what you have to remember.
Yeah, that is something you learn with the dog. You got to be the alpha, you know, the head of the pack, That's, I think, the language that they use, dog trainers use, all about being the head of the pack. I am the head of no pack. I am firmly in the back of every pack that I'm in, including this show. I'm bringing up the rear, literally. All right, let's get back to football.
Yep.
Well, you're right now you're in the back of the pack. Lenny's in the front. I'm in the middle of this pack.
But we're still a pack.
Are we a pack? Okay, cool. I like that. Yeah, predict the first four picks of the NFL draft. And then if you're right, you can have this sound, and then you can play it, and if you're wrong, nobody will remember.
Okay, so let's go with Kyler Murray, number one.
Mm.
Number two, a defensive end from somewhere. Number three, another defensive player. Number four, a wide receiver.
Really?
Huh. Yeah,
spicy.
That's what I have.
Okay.
I couldn't even tell you. I don't pay attention enough to. And let me tell you why. Because when you're a player, draft day means that one of your friends who's on the team is probably losing his job. So I never really got into the draft thing. Now that I'm in the media world, I probably should. I enjoy the combine. I enjoy watching the dudes run around in tights and do incredible athletic feats. I enjoy that, especially because it's in Indianapolis. It brings a lot of great attention to our city. But when it comes to draft things, I have no clue what's going to happen. And I just kind of sit, watch, and enjoy the ride and hope that the Colts get a good pick and kind of see how we get going.
In the last Colts draft, like, did you have any idea how good it would be?
No, they drafted Quentin Nelson. And then Chris Ballard came out and did an interview and was like, this guy's a mauler, man. This guy's everything you need. I was like, all right, if Chris Ballard's coming out like this for a first round, because a guard in the first round is a very aggressive pick, especially for a team that was rebuilding, and he turned out to be 100% right. So I don't think anybody could have known that Darius Leonard was going to be what Darius Leonard was. I don't think anybody could have known Quentin Nelson was going to be a first-team All-Pro. But you just kind of got to sit and hope, because you never know how anybody's going to play once they get money, once they get into a new system. The NFL is such a different world than college football. It's all crapshoot. I mean, there's obvious situations where somebody's going to succeed, but I've seen a lot of people fail that have come into the NFL, and I just hope everybody does well. I hope everybody gets rich, and I hope draft day is something that everybody can remember in a positive manner instead of a negative one.
That's so nice. I will be cursing a lot and you know, blasting teams on draft day, unlike positive Pat over here. But I'll give my first four picks. I'm going to go Kyler. And we're, by the way, listeners, we're going to do a mock later. We got a whole draft show in Nashville, a lot of draft content coming down the pike. Right now, I'm going to go Kyler Murray, one, Nick Bosa, two, Quinn Williams, three, Josh Allen. That's going to be so confusing. Josh Allen, four, to the Raiders. Last question, as always, Pat, comes from Lenny. You ready for this?
Yeah, I mean, I was ready to pay $15,000 to talk to my dog. I mean, it's just a free conversation with your dog. Let's go.
All right, as always, I will honor his request by reading it in his voice. Pat! Uh-huh. I heard you're a fan of Natty Light. Who hurt you? Wow, Lenny. It's aggressive.
That dog voice is magical. It sounds like...
it's exactly what he sounds like.
Well, he's French Pomeranian or whatever. I heard his little DNA. I mean, I thought there'd be maybe a little French accent in there, French bulldog or whatever it is.
He's from the South, actually. He was adopted from Alabama and like came to New York. Like they do, it's like a supply demand thing, right? And so sometimes I wonder if he thinks in a Southern accent. What if he secretly roots for Bama?
He probably sounds like the old traditional guy that I referenced earlier, if I had to guess.
I know.
But, Lenny, thanks for that question. I am a big fan of Natural Light, especially their new drink, Natter Days, which is a delightfully refreshing strawberry lemonade beer that is not supposed to replace the irreplaceable Natural Light, but it is a tag team partner to it in the summer days. I went to West Virginia University, Natural Light Beer Campus, West Virginia University. It used to be able to get a nice 24-pack for like $6 or something like that, or $9 or something like that. And that's really where the love fest began, is in college. And to be honest, whenever one of those Natural Lights hits my gullet, it just makes me feel better. And the Natter Days drinks is going to be the drink of the summer. So it's a good drink to be a part of. It's a good drink to be a fan of. And Lenny, if your mom ever sneaks that into your dog bowl, I think you'll be licking your ass a little bit less, and you'll be feeling a lot better. I think it'll be good for you.
I have a friend who I caught feeding Lenny beer, and I got really upset about it once. I look, that's Lenny's take, by the way. The anti, it's not mine. I am a woman of the people. I'm a woman. I'm a populist when it comes to beer. In fact, two of my takes that are most controversial, Pat, I will end here. One is Bud Light is pretty good. Bud Light's pretty good. Tastes great with food. Okay? Nothing better when I'm eating wings than a cool, refreshing Bud Light. Get at me, Bud Light, if you want to sponsor.
Yeah, who said that you were wrong?
By a dog. The internet really judged me and came after me. And then my second take, IPA. Then my second take, which
you don't
want to
be friends with those IPA. Hey, you don't want to be friends with those IPA people, anyways. There is a actual link that serial killers enjoy IPA, so you should not worry about that at all.
That's how you guys got to figure out if Adnan did it. Look into whether or not he drank IPAs. Pat figured it out for you.
That he did.
That he does. My other take that did not go over well on the internet, there are too many beers. Like, when I go to a restaurant and I look at a menu, I can't even read it. It's like looking at, like, a math equation, like in Good Will Hunting when he's, like, on the chalkboard. That's what a beer menu looks. Too many beers. Cut down on the number of beers.
It became too easy to make. They started making those things for the in-home breweries, and then everybody thought there was some brewery expert, and then the IPAs and the small brews became like the thing with the hipsters. So everybody and their mom started making chocolate and urine and vanilla and all these different flavors. I can't do it. I'm too basic of a human. I'm too basic of a palate. I just drink Bud Lights and natural lights, and people call me basic and simple. And I think that's a pretty accurate assessment. I just can't drink their doo-doo beer that tastes like I drank a forest whenever I'm just trying to have a nice little buzz, cuz.
For $500, would you drink a home-brewed beer made with urine called IPA?
Did you just make that, or is that actual? Did you just create that?
I just thought of it. When you said urine, I thought of it. I did a little wordplay.
That's
clay.
Hey, Mina, that was very clever. That was good.
Thank you. Thanks. I appreciate it. I smiled a little bit when you were, when I said it,
Yeah, like you knew it was good.
$500.
How old am I?
Current age. And it's the urine of someone
No, I'm rich now. If you would have got me back in college, I would have done it. But now I can't do that. Now it's just a whole different animal. You get me in college, though, I'll probably shotgun that IPA for sure. You're in luck. Yeah, that's what I would have said. You're in luck. Go ahead and give me that thing. Let's go.
Oh, it's the number one beer. Am I right? Pat, thank you so much for coming on. Lenny appreciates it. He has some pictures he'd like you to pass to Valerie. No pressure. After the show, we can talk about it. Hope you guys come back. Bring her. Send photos, he says.
I'm going to tell you this straight up. Valerie is not interested in a dog that doesn't like natural light, so keep the picture to yourself. I hope they meet one day. Valerie's a street dog. Lenny seems like a little bit of a hoity-toity yuppie dog. Neither here nor there, I think they could get along. Natural light is where Val draws the line. Mina, I can't thank you enough for having me on here. You are hilarious, knowledgeable, and I'm so, so thankful. Cheers, and have an incredible day, Mina.